What's up, listeners? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the In the End Zone podcast. Just a quick heads up before we jump right into it. You can find this recording as well as some of our previous recordings on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can find us by searching at Settle Down Media on both of those sites. Also, be sure to follow us on our social media pages. We regularly post on Instagram. You can find us by searching at In the End Zone podcast on Instagram. Also, be sure to follow us on the at Settle Down Media TikTok page. We post clips on there pretty regularly. Be sure to follow us on our Patreon. For less than a cup of coffee in a month, $3, you get exclusive content. You get access to behind-the-scenes stuff, footage before it's even out on YouTube. So, yeah, check that out. Help support us. It helps us get better gear, better quality content. So it goes directly to improving the quality, which in turn goes back to you and your viewership. So thanks for watching this and enjoy the rest of the episode. Peace. Hey,
Keaton, the last time you were there, I think you were running from the feds, so...
Yeah, well, I might as well be. I might as well be because I might be blowing up Boise State University after this episode airs. And let me just jump into exactly why. And you know, the CIA, FBI, hey, chocolate chip Biden. If you wanna put me down 6 feet under, do it, bro. But let me just explain what's happening. Okay, I get my degree from College Western Idaho, an AA in communications. I finished with a 2.86 at CWI, which isn't great, but comparatively, the last year, yeah. I had a 3.5 throughout, like for like a full two semesters, I had a 3.5. So I took a gap year. I applied for BSU 3 weeks ago, gave them all my transcripts, sent everything I needed to send, and they sent me an application decision. Well, I go, oh, cool. Like, I got my degree. I finished with a really good term. Like, even at Ohlone College in Fremont, I did really well. No way, nothing happened. So I was just kind of parading around like, oh yeah, fuck yeah, I got accepted. So one day I was like, I'm just gonna actually like click the application so I can like start registering for classes. And they declined me. They turned me down. And their reasoning was that I didn't meet the minimum requirements for a transfer student of a 2.0 GPA.
Okay, that makes zero sense.
And I don't know why. I have an appointment. I have an appointment with him tomorrow. So,
dude.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
But classes started today or yesterday.
Oh, it's going to be for December. It's going to be for January. Oh,
okay. So you're fine regardless.
Yeah, I'm fine. Shit, but
and
they were
by
like,
the way, Keaton is not actually going to blow up the school. That's allegedly. Allegedly, something's going to say. Or that
yeah, well, allegedly, I'm going to destroy that school. Yeah. Anyway, whatever.
Clear. He's not going to
so,
do that.
So, fuck Boise State.
That's crazy, though, bro. At least it's absurd. Not actually stopping you, though, from actually transferring.
No. I mean, it kind of is because they won't accept my transfer application. So, what I would have to do...
3 months. Right?
Yeah, but...
It wasn't for this semester, correct?
Oh, it was. It means I can't. They're not accepting my admission into Boise State as a whole.
No, and I know. So, but if it goes well, this appointment goes well, then you can still register for classes.
Yeah, that was
right?
that was the intention. Yeah. That was the intention. Gotcha. But what they said is like, if I am not accepted, I have to pay without FAFSA, without any student aid, I have to pay for non-major courses to bump my GPA up. So
that's so fucked.
So
that's
stupid. So stupid.
That's so fucked. Fuck
so we'll
that.
See how that goes. We'll see how that goes.
Yep. Money greedy.
Just like the NFL.
Bring in all the proof
that you had from all your other past transcripts and your GPA. Yep. You need to bring in all the proof, bring in the calculations and say, no, this is actually it. You are
I'm going to cook.
Chat. Don't be a dick, but don't
is
be a Boise dick. State? That will lose you.
Is Boise State cooked?
Is this a bagel incident?
This might be a bagel incident. Anyway. Just well, look, that's my week. Snake's been good. Everything's been good. Zach, how you doing?
Good, man. Had a hell of a weekend. Went to Boise. Actually saw Keaton for the first time in a bit. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun.
That was.
Had a really, really long weekend. And again, I do this every time. And you Boise natives, you know, pie hole.
You left me alone.
It's the greatest decision ever. When you're actually, it just destroys you. It destroyed my stomach for a full weekend.
How, dude? I don't get it. I've never gotten the pile of runs.
The whole weekend was so fucked, and I slept on a couch. Monday just was really down bad for a multitude of reasons. Tired, stomach was still low-key fucked. But it was honestly a really, really fun weekend. And am I nice. Pause?
Nope, you're good. You said it was a fun weekend.
Okay. No, you're good. It was a really fun weekend, and then got into it. Last 2 days have been pretty solid. Had a really good workout today and feeling pretty good, especially because Anthony has some really good news that I was happy about. So, Anthony, let's get into it. Sorry to put you on blast or put you on the stand, but this will probably be the best news that we say all day. So,
yeah,
this one makes me happy.
So, well, first off, weekend-wise, it was good. Lonely, thanks, Zach. He left me. He went to Boise. He left me. I was sad. I cried up. I curled up in a ball all weekend. I'm just kidding. No, I studied for my test that that I had today, actually, all weekend. And to bring out the news, since for all you viewers and listeners out there that have been listening to these first little bit of our podcast episodes, I took the test today for my fire investigation and I passed. So I am an officially certified as a fire investigator. So that's pretty good news. Let's go. Thank you.
Big time.
It was rough. It was tough, but we got through it. We studied our asses off. Hard work pays off. End of the day. So
love it, dude. Proud of you.
Yep.
Proud of you.
Thank you, boys. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
But
oh yeah, man. Congrats.
I'm tired. I'm tired of looking at stuff about fire right now. I've been looking at it for a while now, for the past over a month now, studying, especially the past few days. And you know what, boys? I'm ready to talk some football.
Yeah.
So let's do this.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about it. We're so back.
Run it. You're so back.
18. Red 48. Settle down. Wide 80. Sit hut.
We suck. We suck. Get rid of Belichick. Get rid of Mac Jones. Get rid of our entire fucking receiving core.
You guys are 2-8.
That's what I thought.
7-2-8. It doesn't matter. We still suck.
Yeah. So Seahawks played the Ravens. Final score was 28-25. Geno Smith, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. Not really much to write home about that game. Just right.
This is a
great. I don't think Jared Goff is a top 5 quarterback in the NFC.
Are you putting Justin Herbert over Jared Goff?
Yes.
It was like an interview for like a new podcast company. Called Brazzers. I mean, you could see I'm literally in the headquarters right now, dude.
I'm not gonna blow up Boise State, man. I'm sorry.
Oh my god. I didn't even see JJ. I just see the background. I'm like, okay, how is this gonna go?
I'm sorry. I didn't fucking mean it, okay? I'll go to ISU.
Oh my god. Oh my god. We are so back. We are so back.
Boys.
We have the NFL.
We're so back.
We have the NFL starting next week. We have Keaton back in his little story modes. We are so back.
Hey, man. Boys, football starts next week. Next week, boys. How hype are we on a scale of 1 to 10?
Okay.
So back. We are back. Very, very, very back.
We're so back.
Okay.
We're super setting real football with team stories again.
What?
In the end zone is back.
Good. I'm good. Okay. We're back. I'm good. We're good.
He's been through worse. It's okay.
I've been through worse.
Especially on this podcast.
He's been a lot.
North Korea.
If there's certain things that keep me going in life, right? And there's a song that keeps me going in life. And that song is Corvette, hop in a motherfucking jet like that. Because if you don't know, Juju Smith-Schuster signed back with the Chiefs. I mean, look, if you were looking at this team as, are they going to three-peat?
No.
I mean, you lose Kadarius Toney, you bring the greatest dancer 'twas ever to know in NFL history. The Chiefs are back, baby. The Chiefs are back like they never left.
Back to back to back.
They're so back. They're so back to back to back.
And I mean, here, and guess what? It gets better because they released Kadarius Toney too.
I know.
The Chiefs are,
and you know what? They're hopping in a Corvette. Back to that Lombardi trophy, baby. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Oh my God, man.
But yeah, Chiefs signed Juju Smith-Schuster.
That might be a top three intro of all time.
Wait, that was so funny.
And I could, you guys don't know, and this, you can't see, Ant and I had to mute ourselves because I really did not want to ruin that intro. And yeah, Ant kind of got the vibe as well. We were dying laughing, but that was a good one. Yeah. In all honesty, Juju's not going to do anything, right?
No. I want to bring this up real quick, though, fellas. You guys, so when Juju Smith did the Corvette shit, right, in the middle of the field, was that the year when the Chiefs lost to the Bengals? And then the Bengals went on to the Super Bowl?
I think he was still a Steeler.
No, he was still a Steeler. Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to be that's all. I said, he definitely was wrong.
That was against the Bengals? That was against the Bengals?
No. That game? No. You know what you're thinking of? You're thinking of Patrick Mahomes' brother. He did that shit on Sean Taylor's fucking monument.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Well, no. I mean, I think Ant's thinking of Juju Smith-Schuster dancing on the Bengals field.
He did it on the
Bengals field when he was a Steeler.
Yeah.
Bengals lit him the fuck up.
And then I remember now, because in fantasy.
Oh, yes.
That's when I beat Stewie and I went to the championship against Diego. And and Stewie was pissed because Juju then only caught one pass and he fucked up the entire game. So that's right.
Sorry.
For some reason, my brain. I was thinking that was just a curse for the Chiefs, but like I said, I could have been wrong. So we're good.
That definitely was with the Bengals, because you look it up and there's a bunch of fucking edits, dude.
Yeah. So nevertheless, though, Juju is still a bum and he can Corvette his way out of the NFL ASAP.
Dude, there's just no way he doesn't play. He's going to play on that team. He's going to play on that team, I'm telling you.
You have Rashee Rice. Okay.
Sorry.
You have Xavier Worthy and you have Travis Kelce, you know.
But here's the thing. He's
not going to get anything.
And we talked about that as well. But there was a couple of times, bro, where when he wasn't the greatest, he got in. And last year, we saw it as well. Who caught the fucking game-winning catch in the Super Bowl, man? Not a wide receiver starter.
MVS,
for the Chiefs,
baby.
I'll tell you that.
MVS.
It was MVS, who wasn't a starter for the Chiefs. So he's going to play. But to what point does he actually play? I don't think he'll play very much. He might be a wide receiver 4. And Kadarius Toney, man, have fun flipping burgers, because he's not going to do anything. I mean, that's probably about as good as those hands can do. He can't catch shit. He will not be signed by another fucking team. He will not be.
Looking dude, honestly, if I'm gonna be honest here,
boy. Kadarius Uzi Vert.
Yep.
Wait, hold on. Right now? Okay. Sorry, that's my correctional officer telling me that I need to make some space for my new bunkie, if you will. Because my new bunkie is Patrick Mahomes Senior. Because this fucker just can't stay out of the Corvette. Because he just got his third DUI, baby. 3 strikes and he's out. This ain't baseball.
You're out of here.
Yeah, he pleads
so
guilty.
It's so bad.
Patrick Mahomes Sr. pleads guilty to DUI charge. DWI, driving while intoxicated. A little bit different. He gets probation somehow. I don't understand why. 5 years probation with intense supervision. So that's sick. Good for him. I'm sure he and I are going to be cooking up some mean jailhouse snacks, Bunky and I. That's awesome.
Y'all are gonna be racing.
Here's what else is awesome. We've had a couple people get released. Some trash ass quarterbacks getting released.
A couple. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot.
Bailey Crappy got released today. Shout out Patriots fans. Hey.
Hey, I will say at one point he was our Lord and Savior. Yes.
Bailey was low-key really. Nice. He was for
Moonball Milton. The Moonball Milton dream is so back.
It's so back.
It's so
baby.
Back.
You're
so
back.
So back.
Once again,
we're so,
back.
We're so here. Back. We're so back. We're so back.
He's not
we're
missing.
So back.
He's not missing. He made the fucking roster.
No, not at
made
all.
Made the roster. He made the roster.
Made the roster.
You know who didn't make the roster? Desmond Ritter. Famous DoorDash sponsor. kind of ironic. The guy gets cut from his second NFL team, and he's already got a DoorDash commercial out. Get to driving, buddy. Hey, log back in, brother. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be unemployed. You just click on that app. Hey, McDonald's is only 3 miles away, baby. Get that $7.
Oh, my God.
Because he's going to need it. He's going to need it. He's been cut again. I mean, truth be told, he was so good at Cincinnati, but he played at Cincinnati, who sucked. Well, okay, hold on. I'm sorry. They were great. The team, like everything around them, minus the team, was shitty. So they just kind of had a good run. Also, they had Sauce Gardner. Anyway, I wouldn't be shocked if he's with the CFL by the start of next season. I honestly think that's probably his best landing spot. Guangdong Tigers, baby. They might need a football. They might need a franchise quarterback. Hey, you know what? Now that he's not in the NFL, I'll tell you where he can go. Flag football, Team USA, baby. They need a quarterback.
Also, you know what I just realized?
What?
For some strange reason, Stewie loves to glaze fucking Atlanta Falcons players.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Dude, he has an obsession with Drake London now this year.
Kyle Pitts, last year, Drake London, Bijan, and he loved fucking Ritter. He loved him.
Which I don't. I don't.
Guys, and Ritter showed maybe one game where he was decent, but he has not shown a lot of signs where he's been a decent quarterback as a starter.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, dude, it just baffles me, man. And hey, maybe he'll be a fucking CFL great, but not in the NFL.
Not in the NFL. Hey, Houston Roughnecks, baby. They're calling his name.
They're looking for someone. They're
calling his name. Speaking of players being called, Malik Willis. Malik Willis has been traded to the Packers. Not sure what this does. I mean, you know, you add a little bit of depth to Jordan Love's resume, but for a seventh round pick, what's the worst that happens?
Anthony, you talked about a bag of chips. They actually sent him over there for a bag of chips.
Yeah.
But I don't really understand it. I don't know. Who was their backup quarterback before that? I'm going to try to find
Sean Clifford. Sean Clifford had a very underwhelming camp. Maybe there wasn't a
reason why he fucking got traded, because my God, they don't have another one after Malik. So it's Jordan Love and Malik Willis. Okay.
And they had Michael Pratt from Tulane, who also did not play well. So I think Willis is going to make. Nope. Love and Willis are going to be the only quarterbacks on the 53-man roster, which is probably the best case, because I don't expect Jordan Love with the bolstered offensive line to be that injured. However, we're gonna talk a little bit more about the NFC North. So we'll jump into what this means a little bit later. So that's pretty crazy. Something else that's crazy. Hey, if you're a Cowboys fan, this is pretty big, because CeeDee Lamb just got a fat fucking contract. Fat. CeeDee Lamb gets an absolute ham hock, baby. We're talking 4 years, faux big bands, $136 million. That includes $100 million guaranteed signing, $38 million signing bonus, which means almost every single part of this is guaranteed. If he plays like how he's playing, he's going to make 136 plus 38. What's crazy, you know, you talk about these large deals in places like San Francisco or Seattle or stuff like that, where income tax is huge and you're taxed like 30%. I work at a bank and I'm taxed 20%. Texas doesn't have state income tax. So all he has to pay is agency fees and maybe a few other things. But man, that guy really gets to walk away with about $38 million, just cold hard cash. Can I have some?
I'll say this. My dad actually texted me this and he said that Jamar Chase is now wanting $160 million over 4 years and $120 million guaranteed after the CD extension. We're so fried. So fucked. The 49ers are so fried. And sorry, I'm not trying to get into the 49er talk, and I'll make this pretty quick. But again, we have some more to talk about with that, so maybe I won't make it quick. But the 49ers are in cap space hell, and it's just not looking good, man.
Well, something else I would like to add on real quick about the whole CD signing is that from what I saw, and I can't remember off the top of my head, it's been a long day, but he was either the second or the third highest paid wide receiver now second. In the NFL. After okay. He was the second. Okay. Second, yeah. So he's now the second highest paid wide receiver now in the NFL. Insanity.
And Brandon, you know, what you're
just punching the air and walking up to 49er headquarters right now.
And what you're looking at right now, right. if you're Dallas, you know, as a fan, you're a little bit worried because yeah, it's awesome to have CD. That's huge. What you're not having right now is Micah Parsons and Dak Prescott.
Yep.
Both of those guys, their contract situations are looming large. And especially now with CD getting the contract, which me personally, I think he deserves. I think out of that draft class, he's been maybe the first or second best wide receiver in that. You know, Jerry Jeudy's probably better, but that's, you know, whatever. but you know, you're talking about Brandon Ayuk, man. What the Niners do with him, I just don't know. And Steve Young, the quarterback for the former quarterback for the 49ers, one of the greatest of all time. He believes that it's stretched, that their relationship, Brandon Ayuk and the 49ers relationship is stretched and strained, but that they can mend it. And now I'm looking at it and I don't see how. You know, Zach, I know we've talked about this all off season and we'll probably continue talking about it well into the season, but what do you think the Niners could do now to salvage this, especially since the trade with the Steelers just fell through and there's really no other options?
They have to salvage it, number one, just because of exactly what you just said. There's no one else that's looking into them, and the season starts in less than 10 days, right?
Yeah.
The thing that I'm really worried about is the first game against the Jets, man. I mean, you look at this game and you look at, again, you'll bring this up later, but we have one of our offensive linemen. I'm not going to ruin the whole story, but he's also sitting out. And you look at that Jets defense, and their front seven is one of the best in the full league. Front seven is one of the best in the full league. You also look at the preseason game where our starters played, and Deebo Samuel, again, I love the guy. With the ball in his hands, great player. Not a wide receiver one. Can't stretch the field. Can't run routes very well besides if it's through the middle. And he's not an outside guy. And Brandon Ayuk is the polar opposite, and that's why they work 1A, 1B to each other, right?
I agree.
And that's the thing that I'm really worried about against the Jets. I think it'll be a defensive shootout. But for the full season without Brandon Ayuk, I don't think we win. I don't think we're as competitive as we want to be. And that's the thing that I'm really worried about. But, again, and I've heard this, and I've been saying it for, I think, a week now, maybe 2 weeks now, that the Niners have the first 3 years solved, but it's the last one that they don't have ready. But that was before CD's contract. So do things change? Have things changed? Again, we aren't getting updates on this. We don't know what's happening with them. It doesn't seem like they have a horrible relationship, but I think Brandon is losing respect for the 49ers or from 49ers players. And I think the 49ers are losing respect from Brandon as well, or for Brandon as well.
Yeah,
so
yeah, I think all the way through, it's just a bad.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And it's like, everyone's like, oh, it happened with Deebo. I'm like, Deebo, again, was a bitch last year, but he wasn't like this.
Deebo just wanted a little bit extra, but he was always going to be a Niner. Always going to be a Niner.
And the thing is, Brandon Ayuk fucking traveled for the 49ers versus the Raiders game, which, again, that's a good sign. But it's also like, man, dude, like, tension's got to be high. It got to be high. And that, you know, locker room's got to not be the most confident, because, Keaton, please go into the next story so I can continue yapping.
I mean, we're full into the yaparoni and cheese time frame right now. And we're going to continue this with a little bit of Niners drama. And believe me, as a Seahawks fan, I'm hungry for this shit, because Seattle's been kind of quiet this year. Trent Williams, baby, all pro bowler, left tackle, has decided he's not going to fucking play. He's just not going to play week one against the Jets. Why? Well, I mean, just saying, did have not the greatest year last year. But more importantly, he wants a new contract, just like Brandon Ayuk does. So, yeah, Zach, why don't you break this down? What's going on? Because he's not reporting to anything, and now he's not playing.
It's not good. It's really, really not good. And again, like I said, I brought up earlier without trying to bring it up completely, but Trent Williams not on our offensive line makes us a Swiss cheese group. We are Swiss cheese. We don't have any guy besides Pooney that's looked decent. I mean, we have a couple returners from last year that looks okay, A rookie looks okay, but our offensive line is bottom of the barrel without Trent Williams. Not bottom of the barrel, but definitely below average. And again, you look at a Jets defense, especially with that front four, they are fucking stacked. Stacked. I am worried, again, I don't want to bring this up, I am low-key worried for Brock Purdy's health in the first week. I don't want to bring that up because we've seen what's happened when he's got hurt. And they have a guy in Hassan Reddick who I don't believe is playing because they need to figure out their contract with him. But if they figured out with him, that makes their front seven and their front four even better, who, again, might have the best unit in the full NFL. So I am extremely worried. I'm also worried with how the 49ers are handling this. Like, as a front or a group of guys that have been there for so long and a front office that has been there for so long together and has gone through contracts specifically with players exactly like right now, it doesn't make sense to me why it's taking so fucking long. Do they not understand that we are a week away from the NFL regular season? We can't just drop games. We're not good enough to be like, yeah, we'll go 1-3 in the first four games because our three-star players aren't going to play. And CMC has a fucking cap strain too. The front office, I don't get what's happening. You're a group of men that have been together forever. You've gone exactly through this with Nick Bosa, Kittle, with Debo, and now we're doing it again.
Soon to be Brock Purdy.
Why are we waiting this long? And again, I'm going to fucking bring this up. I think, again, I don't want to jinx it, but I realistically think this is the last year we can win it all.
Yeah.
Just well, that would realistic. Be nice. Dude, you look at it, and it's like the 49ers have a great roster, but we are the oldest roster in the NFL. Didn't know if you guys knew that. We are the oldest roster in the NFL with an average of 27 years old, which is crazy, by the way.
But that's crazy.
You look at this, and it's like the 49ers have, I think, 2 years at max, but next year, Brock Purdy, he's asking for $300 million easily. And again, you can't deny Brock because what has Brock been? He's been a great teammate and non-dramatic. Not dramatic at all. So you got to give it to him. Brandon Ayuk, you could be like, hey, you've been a bitch. We've lost respect for you. Brock done nothing but what he's been asked to do. So as a fucking front, a group of guys in the front office, I keep almost saying front seven, but a front office group, you need to figure the fuck out what you're doing in the next few years. Either put all your eggs in one basket, sign everyone right now, or be decent for a couple years and potentially get to a Super Bowl in the next two. The front office, figure it the fuck out. Figure it out because I'm over it as a fucking 49ers fan. And week one is right around the corner.
I get it. I get it.
Coming into effect.
Well, look, we'll make the last few points pretty quick. But I know you said you're a little bit worried. Most Niners fans should be with what's looming, especially with the implications of what the season means for the team and the franchise. You know who's not worried, though? The banks. True. The banks that hold Travis and Jason Kelce's money, because they just inked a fat contract. They signed with and not like a sports contract, right? Because they're already making money and Jason's retired. It's actually for New Heights, their podcast, the wannabe In the End Zone boys, whatever they want to be. They just inked with Amazon for $100 million, reportedly, for 3 years. $33 million split amongst the whole team, you know, of engineers and editors and all that, but for 3 years. Pretty insane. Pretty insane. So why I'm saying this and why it's important is because we have a Patreon. And I'm not saying our Patreon is $100 million over a course of 3 years, but hey, it's $3 over the course of 1 month. But it helps us and gets us better equipment. And who knows, because in a few years, when the NFL calls my name for the draft, we might be making $100 million over a three-year span. So I'm just saying, if you really want to support us and if you guys are really real fans, support us on Patreon. But that's shameless plug. Our last thing and kind of some interesting news, the NFL will not be measuring first downs electronically this season. So I'm curious about this because this is the second time I'm reading about this today and I've still had my questions. So I might defer this off to Zach or Anthony, who have a better understanding of this. What it sounds like, are they just going to be chain ganging it this year, which I'm a big fan of?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. So we talked about this actually probably 2 months ago or so. And excuse me, this was before preseason. So they tested it during preseason, and now they don't want to actually use it in the regular season. I don't know why. I mean, we can look into this article and read it. So give me a second. The NFL will not utilize its electronic system to measure first downs during the 2024 regular season. Does it say why? Okay, so it says the league continued to test the system during the just completed preseason and had left the open or the possibility of using it during this regular season open. Instead, the system will go into regular season use in 2025 at the earliest. The whole effect was to begin taking a look at it to see what worked, what didn't work. Walt Anderson, the NFL's officiating rules analyst, said Tuesday. You certainly had some of them that went very smoothly, and then we had some others where obviously there were some challenges. All that is part of the learning curve. We'll end up continuing to collect data on that. It'll be a topic for the competition committee in the spring. So it's looking like there were a couple of, I don't know, maybe mistakes or just things that went wrong with the tracking system. And obviously it's probably not perfect because it is technology, as perfect as it is now. But it's a system that we've never seen been used before, and it probably has some trial and error, and that's what's really happening. So they're going to look into it for spring and potentially use it in 2025. So robots are taking over in 2025. I really hope they don't use it, honestly. And
it's used in.
I think it's useful. I think it's useful, but it just gets rid of a little bit of the integrity of the game, you know?
I agree.
It's like the catcher. It's like the catcher in fucking baseball, man. Or not the catcher, the ump, excuse me, in baseball.
I was going to say there. Yeah. Careful.
But also catcher as well, because they frame. But
they do frame.
In totality,
they
do. You know what I mean. You know what I
mean. They use it in a lot of racket sports, but we're not tennis people. I'm a tennis guy. We're not tennis people. Look, moving let's...
wait a second.
Okay, actually, I have something really important to tell you. It's time for part three of the NFL divisional breakdown.
That's right.
We are so back.
Let me just run through this.
Second to last week, and then we have real fucking football.
Let me just run through this like a porn star real quick. In the AFC North last year, Ravens finished with a 13-4 record. We know how that turned out. They were 6-3 at home and 7-1 away. Browns finished second in that division, clinched a wild card, you know, Moonball Flacco.
I low-key forgot that, about that.
They kind of went crazy. 11-6 record, 8-1 at home and 3-5 on the road. 8-1 at home in shitty Cleveland is pretty crazy. The Steelers finished 10-7 on the season, 5-4 at home and 5-3 away. I mean, literally 5-4 at home and 5-3 away is the most Mike Tomlin-ass record ever.
It's the most Steelers stat ever.
Bengals finished a measly 9-8, 6-3 at home, but 3-5 away. They really just struggled to get it done. A lot of injuries there, so that was kind of a, you know, an asterisk type year. But let's go ahead and break this down. Me personally, I don't know about you guys, but I have the Bengals winning this division. And I just say that. But again, I had the Bengals winning the Super Bowl last year, and that was because I didn't expect Joe Burrow, Mr. Glass Bones, to die, just fucking die in the first game. I didn't expect it. I don't think anyone did. But he did. He actually passed away. So he's back. I've got the Bengals, and the Ravens lost a lot, but we'll cover it. Anyway, what do you guys think? Who do you think wins the division? Who do you think comes out on top? Who's the cream of the crop?
Zach, do you want to go or you want me to go first?
Go for it.
So I'm a little bit iffy on it right now. Okay. So it's between the Bengals and it's between the Ravens. Straight up with it. Okay. Now, my whole thing with this is now the only way that the Bengals come out on top and they win the division is if they have the healthy Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow is our Lord and Savior against Patrick Mahomes also.
He's the only one.
If he's the only one besides my GOAT, Tom Brady. There it is. But that's what I think, though. If the Bengals, the only way the Bengals are on top is if they have a healthy Joe Burrow. If they don't have a healthy Joe Burrow of any at all throughout the middle of the season to the end of the season, whatever, I truly think the Ravens are going to end up on top. So that's why I'm conflicted right now, because Joe Burrow, he's a flip of a coin right now. He's legit a flip of a coin. He's a 50-50. You don't know what you're going to get. Last year I said the Bengals, and I also agreed with Keaton. I said Bengals were going to win the Super Bowl last year. Boy, was I mistaken. And you know what? I think I'm going to do it again. I think I'm going to say Bengals are going to win the division. And I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to go Ravens at two. I think that's what I'm going to do.
Okay. I'm going to say this real quick. I actually don't have the Ravens going at two, but I'm going to let Zach. Talk.
Oh, no. Keaton.
This may be our first real disagreement.
Okay. I think it's going to be, because I'm going to be disagreeing here. I think the Ravens are going to win it, but I think the Bengals will be the better team in the playoffs, and this is why. I think the Ravens have lost quite a few players, but I don't think Joe Burrow is going to be able to stay healthy, and I don't think that defense got better, and I know that run game didn't get better because they got rid of Mixon. So I look at it, and I say, okay, both the teams didn't get – better that much in the respected areas that they needed to. I think the Ravens got worse on defense, which was the best unit in the NFL last year by a good margin. And I think the Bengals got better at offensive line, which is going to help them, but they don't have a running back besides Zach Moss, who I don't think is great. Hasn't really shown very much signs. We also see Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins kind of weird with the contract situation. So I will say that I think the Ravens finish first. I think Cincinnati finishes second. But if Joe Burrow stays healthy, I think Cincinnati will probably do it. But I don't think it's going to happen. However, I don't think it's going to be season ending. So I think it's going to be Ravens, Bengals. And then this is where I think things get a little bit iffy. But Keaton, it sounds like you are being very ballsy with a hot take here. So go for it.
When in jail, be ballsy, right?
You ought to know you bought it.
Browns. I think Cleveland's gonna be sneaky.
Oh no.
I think the Steelers are gonna finish the worst in this division, and I'll tell you why.
I agree with that, actually.
I like Russell Wilson. Obviously, I'm a Russell Wilson guy. I like Justin Fields. What I don't like, and this is the exact same reason that I think Seattle struggled,
What do you like Justin Fields as? A kick returner? A butt returner?
Yeah.
I think Justin Fields can be okay. All right, Drake May is your second best option, but the second overall pick too. Okay. I don't want to talk to you.
Okay.
Patriots fan.
Let's keep it easy.
Two-time Pro Bowler.
Should have ran the ball.
Wrap it back in, fellas. Wrap it back in.
Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith single-handedly held the Falcons back last year. He comes in to a team that desperately needs offense in the Steelers. And Mike Tomlin, fresh off a contract, is back to being Mr. Mediocre. And they've got two quarterbacks who are probably going to be that, as much as it pains me to say. But the Browns got sneaky good. The Browns did not lose a ton of players. Nick Harris and Jakeem Grant, they lost Joe Flacco, which we all expected. But they had a Jermaine Afidi, which hit or miss. Jerry Jeudy, again, hit or miss, could be a boom or bust. And Devin Bush, who I think Devin Bush will be great.
Devin Bush is a fucking dog. Yeah.
They added a bunch of trench players in their draft picks, Michael Hall and Zach Zinter. They also added a wide receiver. They got Jerome Ford. David Njoku is, I believe, on pace to have a monster year. The only question mark that I have, and there's two, is... And I think this is what determines how the season turns out.
John in that run game.
I think the run game is the most important thing right now, because you need to. I mean, to be perfectly honest, you have to include the idea that you're going to be without Nick Chubb for at least 4 weeks. So that's got to play a huge part in that division. But I don't know if Deshaun Watson can't get it done. I watched DTR. Dorian Thompson-Robinson tear up the Seattle secondary. And I think Jameis Winston can still be a, he can still get it done. That's my hot take. I think the Browns finished second in this division this year. And then I think Ravens and then Steelers. Ravens lost a lot and they lost their defensive coordinator. So didn't really gain a lot of defense that. Back.
I really don't mind that. I just feel like the Ravens on offense are going to be too good. But I also am like going back and forth and I don't know who I want to put at three and who I want to put at four. And it's because of this. When Deshaun came back from all of his allegations and stuff, I thought the Browns were going to be great, honestly. And you looked at the Browns in the playoff game and a lot of people had them winning and they didn't do too well in the playoffs. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, dude, I'm not high on Russell Wilson, but I don't know if I'm higher on that defense in the fact that Mike Tomlin can be average or a bit better than average. And we also have Cleveland with Deshaun Watson, who has not been great. So I'm kind of going back and forth with it. And I think right now I would probably take the Steelers at three just because that defense is pretty decent. And again, the coaching is, in my opinion, better than the Browns coaching. Well, I shouldn't say that. Never mind. I won't say that completely. But I think there's just a better situation with the Steelers being better at being an average team than the Browns, right? And I think the Browns could honestly be 12-5, realistically. I just don't know Deshaun Watson. I don't trust him. And I think Nick Chubb really carried that offense. When he's healthy, he's the best running back in the game. And, hey.
But you know what? When he was injured last year, the team kept winning. It's not like they struggled and sunk and went into a hiding pace. They continued winning.
And granted, the division to actually predict.
Is that just because of Joe Flacco, though? That's the
Joe Flacco was so back, just like we are. Just like we are, Joe Flacco was back.
So back.
Dude, I don't know.
I think this is the hardest
to
predict.
I will say my mind right now is Browns and then Steelers. I'm taking Browns and I'm taking the Steelers in four. That's my prediction.
Yep. My only reason,
like I said, man, this division is the hardest to predict by a good margin.
Very difficult division to predict.
Like it would not surprise me if the Steelers stayed healthy, the Bengals did not stay healthy, and the Ravens somehow got injured with some of their star players, and either the Browns or the Steelers won it. It would not surprise me because all these teams are decent.
Yeah, my only hang up with the Ravens, I explained earlier how they lost a bunch of defensive players, including the best defensive coordinator in the NFL, biases. But Derrick Henry, man, I don't know how Derrick Henry fits that offense. We watched Lamar Jackson last year, especially when he had to play against Kansas City. They eliminated his run game, and we have watched time and time and time and time and time again. He is not a one-trick pony. He cannot just sit in the pocket and sling it. He has to have that mobility with his legs. And I wonder, where does Derrick Henry fall into this? Because Derrick Henry isn't someone you just throw a 3-yard wheel route to and he explodes up the field. You kind of just have to give him the ball up at the front and he explodes off the line. He's a tank. I think it honestly could hit really hard. I just don't see it. I think they're two completely different players. And I just don't think that they mesh well, but I could be wrong.
I think when it comes down to the Ravens and the whole Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry thing, I think they have the chance to do something here that we have not seen from the Ravens in a very long time. And I think they can use this advantage. I think they can use this as an advantage and throw off teams by using Derrick Henry as him as a tank, run through these guys and really throw off that defense. And I think that when they mesh that with the agility of Lamar Jackson as well,
look, Lamar can see it work. Realistically, I think
it's
going to be good.
I see the Derrick Henry.
When it comes down to fantasy, no, I wouldn't pick Derrick Henry in fantasy either. By the way, for y'all wondering about fantasy stuff, steer clear from Derrick Henry. Go someone else. Honestly, I'd rather take Kyron Williams than Derrick Henry.
Go T. Higgins. Trust me. Go T. Higgins.
Hey, no. Take KJ Osborne. First round.
There we go. Jake Bobo.
I will say before we move on.
Go ahead.
Losing Patrick Queen, I really think is going to be a big difference in that defense.
Huge
departure.
I love Jordan Brooks, but I was hoping they went Patrick Queen.
Honestly, hey, I think the Steelers defense is going to be really solid. I don't know. Again, very hard.
So overall, boys, overall, fellas, what are we thinking here? Browns 3, Steelers 4, or Steelers 3 and Browns 4?
I mean, we were to take an average based off of
I've got right? Steelers being worse than
Bengals 1.
I got Steelers being worse.
Ravens 2, and then I think we would go Browns, Steelers.
Steelers.
But again, we all had different ones. We all had different ones, which is the first one out of all the divisions. So if that shows you anything, this is going to be a very, very good division.
Yep.
I'm curious to see how that's going to turn out.
Speaking of a good division, or at least a couple good teams in a division, we got the AFC North, baby. MCDC led the way last year. The Detroit Lions, man, 12-5. Shout out to them. 6-2 at home, 6-3 away. Geno Smith continues to own that franchise. That's talk for another day.
So does Brock.
Anyway, Lions made it all the way to the NFC Championship. It was the first time they'd made it back in 30 years. They beat out the rest of the division, and that was the Packers at 9-8. They finished 5-3 at home, 4-5 away. Jordan Love started off the year really, really brutally bad. Through like 6 weeks, people were calling for him to like be just kicked out of the NFL, which is crazy because technically he was a rookie. And then he showed everyone what he could do. And had he not struggled just a tidbit in the NFC divisional game, they probably, my guess, represent the NFC in that Super Bowl. Vikings finished 7-10. Brutal year for them. 2-6 at home, 5-4 away. They lost Kurt Cobain's, KJ Osborne. Sad. Vikings just had a weird draft. JJ McCarthy, man, just tore his meniscus completely torn.
Yeah,
they drafted. So he's out for the year. Kyrie Jackson, their third round pick, unfortunately passed away in the offseason. Nothing funny about that. That shit sucks. He was going to be a stud. So it went from bad to worse, especially, I just don't know what they're going to do. Now you have to rely on Sam Darnold, which I actually think he can be a little bit productive. Bears finished third in that division at 7-10. They matched, lost the head-to-head matchup, though, with the Vikings. 5-3 at home, 2-7 away. They lost some pretty big players. Justin Fields, Kevin Byard, Darnell Mooney, Robert Tonyan, Amon-Ra St. Brown's brother. I'm not going to pronounce his first name. Not that good. They brought in the most worst quarterback you could ever imagine. Caleb Williams gets drafted. Rome, the savior on Dudze, and the offensive tackle, Kieran Amangaji. That's
good try.
Cancel me, Gen Z. Yeah, They sucked. So I'm real quick just going to say I actually think that this record stays exactly how it was. I think this is a one-to-one translate. I think the Lions win that division. I don't actually believe it's going to be that close. You guys might argue it. I just think the Lions are so primed for a Super Bowl appearance. And that window's wide open. Packers, I think, finished second. I think Vikings, I don't actually know what they're going to do. I think it's really dependent on Sam Darnold. I just don't have faith in a rookie quarterback. And I think that stems from just consistent feelings of watching and viewing rookie quarterbacks. Now, I think Caleb Williams could be a very hit or miss quarterback. And if he plays like he played in the preseason, he's going to be great. However, I worry about putting a rookie quarterback like that to a team that has a history of fucking up their quarterbacks. This isn't the Houston Texans, who were kind of primed to win when they brought in their quarterback. I think the Bears finished fourth in that division, and I think it's close with them and the Vikings, but that's my pick.
Okay.
Sorry, CJ Stroud.
Real quick. And I'll make this quick and then I'll let you go. I have some hot takes. Number one, the Packers have the worst offense in this division. I don't even think it's close. Their wide receiver room is the most mediocre room in the whole NFL. And I don't know why it gets hyped, because they have a bunch of wide receiver threes playing wide receiver. And then again, my other hot take is that I think the Bears are going to make the playoffs and they're going to be third in this division, but they are going to be pushing the Packers. And to be honest with you, I might be a Packer hater. Maybe I'm just a hater to the Packers, but their win total in Vegas is 9.5. If you were to put a ballsy bet on any team, I think you bet the under for them. I think they're getting overrated like a motherfucker. I don't think Jordan Love is as good as the money shows. I just – maybe I'm a hater to the Packers, man. Maybe I'm a Packers hater, but I'm just saying I think they're overrated. I think they're overrated. I think the Lions are number one. I think the Packers will be number two, but I think it's a game. I think whoever ends number three, and I'm saying it's the Bears, I think the Packers will only have one game on them. And three teams out of this division make the playoffs, so in my prediction.
I just don't see it happening.
If the Bears don't make it, it's going to be very close. I'll say that. I think the Packers and the Lions will make it, and I think the Bears will be close. But I think the Vikings are last, and it's unfortunate because they have some key weapons on offense that are just possibly not going to get the ball. I mean, fuck, man, I don't really know. It's going to be interesting. But I really do like Aaron Jones, and I think he'll fit that offense really well. And they're stacked at pretty much every position but quarterback. And Sam Darnold, like we saw last year for the 49ers, is not the answer. So,
yeah,
we shall see.
I agree. Ant, why don't you finish us off, dude? Just finish me off right now.
Yes, Daddy.
Just do it right now. Finish me off.
Anyways.
Finish us off in the end zone.
Okay, so I'm going to make this quick. Please do not sit like that ever, Keaton. No.
Bunky was getting – Patrick Mahomes Sr., Bunky was getting crazy.
Wow. Anyways. I really need to finish this off. All right, so here we go. Real quick, it's going to be straight up how it was last year. All right, Lions number one, Packers two, Vikings three, Bears four. The reason why I am going Lions is I don't even need to explain that one. I don't really need to explain the Lions. I think they are due to go to Super Bowl or go into the NFC Championship again. I think their roster is stacked. I think they're doing great things right now.
Maybe I'm just an NFC North hater because I don't like any of these teams but the Bears. Fuck the Lions. The Packers.
I think you're just a Caleb Williams Krispy Kreme glaze.
I think so too. No. But anyways. The Packers, I think they Zach has the argument that they have a whole bunch of wide receiver threes out there playing wide receiver with Jordan Love, right? I think Jordan Love is not a bad quarterback. I think honestly, they figured out a good system of how to get those wide receivers and out there and make them look like wide receiver ones in a way. I really think they figured out with that, which honestly. No. Good for them. Absolutely. Yes. I'm going to say that. Yes.
Oh, my God. I can't even look at this. Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed. All of them are fucking wide receiver threes on the 49ers.
They're wide receiver threes
on the Seahawks. They're wide receiver threes on the Bears. There's so many teams that you can name. All of these guys would not be the wide receiver one or wide receiver two. On the Cardinals, these guys, wide receiver threes. There's so many teams, bro.
And you guys almost lost to that team.
Christian Watson, ass. Romeo Doubs, ass. They're all just average. They're not
Hey, don't talk about my boy Dontavian like that, please.
Dude, I'm just saying. They're not ass, but they're wide receiver threes. Wide receiver twos at best. None of them have been dominant enough to say wide receiver one.
So that's why you bring in Josh Jacobs and Robert Tunyon.
It's the same fucking offense. Besides, you got a fucking workhorse.
Say what you will. That offense did almost beat the best NFC team in the playoffs. And in true Packer fashion, yes, they choked. But I get what Ant's saying, and I'll let him finish. But what he's saying and what I'm saying is that regardless of what you think about that offense, you win games with a quarterback. You could have the greatest offense or the greatest defense. You're not going to win games with a bad quarterback. We saw it with the Niners. You could win with them. You couldn't win because of them. And the fact is Jordan Love is the second best quarterback in that division. You can win because of him.
No, he's not. They figured out a good system. They figured out a great system behind Jordan Love and that offense. And I fucking love it, honestly. I love what they're doing.
But I'll stop playing.
Next, the Vikings. Now the Vikings and the Bears, it's a tough one, right? You have a great offensive weapons with the Vikings, but you don't have a great quarterback, right? You have fucking Sam Darnold, and he's not good.
He could be okay.
He's not good. He could be okay at best. Okay, significantly at best. So
their defense has also gotten significantly worse. Significantly.
Yeah, correct. But I also think in a way that outweighs the fact that you're bringing in a rookie quarterback as well. And I don't know. I'm not high on the Bears with Caleb Williams yet. I'm really not. And I could be wrong. 100% I could be wrong. Absolutely, yes. Because Caleb Williams, he looked good in preseason. But once again, like I said last week, it's preseason. It is preseason. You know, I need to see, we got to see what he's looking like out there in actual regular season games. So that's why I'm saying the Bears are going to be last in the division. I think it's going to be close between Vikings and Bears, between their records? Yes.
Yes.
I think it's going to be very close. It's going to be a flip of a coin. But if I were to guess, I think it's going to go Vikings and Bears. That's my prediction.
Well, that's let me just break it down for you. Because going off what we just said, we're going to go 1-1 again. Lions, Packers, Vikings, Bears. Clip it. Chat.
No. Not based off my average.
What's your average? Mine's 4 inches, so.
Okay.
That wraps it up. So let's just recap a little bit. In the AFC North, we kind of collectively agreed that the Bengals would finish first in that division, followed by the Ravens, the Browns, and the Steelers. We think that the Browns could make a second wild card spot in a very tough division. And then moving down to the NFC North, we picked the Lions, then the Packers, the Vikings, then the Bears. So if you're looking at the 2023 record, we think it's going to finish the exact same way for 2024.
These are two of the best divisions in the NFL. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, you could argue that the Lions might be the second best division, but we know who the number one is, and that's the AFC North. But again, I think all these teams are going to be competitive. I don't think there's really a bad team. Maybe the Vikings. I just don't see the Bears with that much talent. No, they're stacked on both sides of the ball, and realistically, it's just Caleb Williams.
Yeah, you know Caleb Williams is stacked. I'm sure you want to know that he's stacked. Okay. So anyway, well, that's our episode. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the In the End Zone podcast. Always, if you like this episode, drop a like, drop a comment. If you made it this far, follow us on our social medias. And
also, be sure to look out for our In the End Zone live on Sunday, where we draft for our fantasy league as well.
Oh, shit. I forgot we were doing that. Let's go. Wow. Let's go.
Yep.
Also, sure I have not done
a mock draft. Half of the business, by the way. What'd you say?
I have not really done any mock drafts, so I'm not looking too hot.
I've never done a single mock draft. So anyway, that's our episode. Have a great rest of your night, fellas.
Please like, subscribe. Peace.